broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
We will retire 250 of the oldest Air Force tactical
fighters. I think Obama is more centrist. His foreign policy, he's not
now,
just...
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we direct your attention to Pitcher's Mound.
Business travelers are down and leisure travelers are down. And both of those come back at once.
It'll be good.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the only news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Coming up this hour, we have Art Griego, who is a commercial pilot. We'll talk about the latest news that travelers, I guess, are happy with airline travel as of late because there's not as many traveling people. You know, there's not as many people traveling, I should say. I mean, it's not that there are other entities besides people traveling. I see more traveling dogs. It's more relaxing for me. I saw one swimming to St. Bees Island the other day. By the way, that brings us to the question tonight that you shouldn't ask. We read the story of Sophie Tucker, the dog that swam 5 nautical miles and made it to St. Bees Island. 5 nautical miles after falling off of a boat and was stranded on that island for months before being rescued by park rangers and returned to the family who lost her. Sophie swam 5 miles. How does it feel knowing that most people, 90% of all humans, can't do what a dog can do? Swim 5 miles to save your own life. All right. How does it feel? Not that we wouldn't want to, but we can't do what an Australian sheepdog can do. Although there are a lot of things we can do that an Australian sheepdog, you know, cannot do. And one of them's a radio show, so I feel superior in that sense. But beyond that, that's our question you shouldn't ask. It's really not a question that you... Well, yeah, it is a question you shouldn't ask. Look at that. Half the fat slobs in the world, man, they can't do what that dog did. Then the other question we were considering, but we didn't ask it because it would be in bad taste, which is, do you think that dog should have been returned to that family? Because obviously they're rather cavalier with the safety of their dog. Tonight's question you shouldn't ask. Twitter with us at twitter.com/realphilhendry. Now, a couple of things to get out of the way, and I say, I don't mean get out of the way, but I, you know. Partisan gap in Obama, job approval widest in modern era. We're going to talk about this idea of partisanship. And this poll that has just been released by the Pew Research people, and we'll give you an idea as to what it means, because some people think it means something that it doesn't, believe me. But in the meantime, Hawaiian Airlines topped an annual quality study of U.S. air carriers as the industry took some of the hassle out of flying last year and delivered its best performance in 4 years. The improvements came just a year after airlines earned their worst marks for passenger complaints in more than a decade. Right behind Hawaiian in the overall ratings of 17 airlines were AirTran Airways and JetBlue Airways, according to a study based on government statistics. The airline industry flew fewer people in 2008, but treated them better, arriving on time more often and losing fewer bags. Passengers also were not as apt to be bumped from flights by overbooking, which was a big problem when airlines were running at or over capacity. The downside, less flights, higher prices. And some airlines now charge extra for any luggage and fewer frills. And we all are familiar with, for instance, having to pay for your meals, or you don't get a meal, you get a bag of nuts or something along those lines. Here is Dean Hatley of Wichita State, the lead author of the study, rating the airlines. He says that as soon as the economy gets better, the airline industry complaints will skyrocket. He's filled with all kinds of good news here.
Business travelers are down and leisure travelers are down. And both of those come back at once. Our system can't stand that. Our air traffic control and just the general volume at the airports will be right back where we were in 05 and 06, and we'll be in the same bad circumstance that we were unless we fix something.
And AP details some of the best and worst airlines according to the study.
Hawaiian topped the list for most on-time arrivals. American was at the bottom. AirTran did the best in handling baggage. American Eagle the worst. JetBlue had the lowest rate of denied boardings. Atlantic Southeast had the highest.
And there was fewer
ass covering
events from the airlines than ever before. Now, I've never had a bag lost, and that's about all I can say about that. The worst experience I've never had a bag lost. I've had bags that I understood would be slow in coming because I had to leave Miami once, and something happened. My bag had to be on another plane for some reason. I think the bag just insisted it wanted to travel different on a different airline than me or a different flight than me, and I understood that. Anyway, I had to go get my bag at the counter. That was cool. But the worst experience I had, and I'm sorry I got to say this, But first I have to ask my producer, do we have any airline sponsors as yet that, okay. I was on America West, and...
Boy, that's so chicken, man.
What's chicken about that? All I'm doing is good old-fashioned...
Ass covering.
That's all. Anyway, I'm on America West, and I'm flying first class. And I was going from, I don't know, L.A. to Vegas. And first class is first class. Now, I don't ask a lot. I'd like a wider seat. And I don't know. I guess I'd like to have, a little something in my envelope before we get off the ground. You know, that's the good thing about first class. You get a little service on the ground, right? Yes, sir. Can we, do anything for you? Well, now that you mention it, yeah, you know. And that's about it. I don't expect anything more than that. If it's a longer flight, I want him to come by with a champagne bottle a little more often and that kind of thing, if I can afford it. Anyway, so I'm flying first class, but what I don't expect when I fly first class is having to, when I use the forward John there in first class, having to reach down into the toilet to...
Oh, you're kidding!
I'm not kidding, man. The toilet would not, it was stuck. And no matter how many times I flushed it, it was just... And I said, this is not good. So I went over and I talked to the guy, and he said to me, sir, you shouldn't reach into the toilet. I said, well, you're probably right, because it has that suction thing. But believe me, this thing ain't sucking.
What were you reaching in the toilet for, man? Looking for dinner?
Oh, you shut up.
What are you doing?
Never mind what I was... What I was doing is the thing was stuck. Anyway, I got off the plane... Now that I think about it, you're probably right. I shouldn't have been doing it. But the thing was stuck. What do you want me to do? I washed my hands. And so...
You're wiping your nose with your hand right now.
Yeah, you're right. So anyway, when I got on the ground, I went over to the America West counter, and I raised holy hell, and I made a lot of demands, and I threatened to sue. And they said they gave me something like a gift certificate for one free drink. And I said, that's great. Thank you. And I left. Speaking of travel, we do love staying at Choice Hotels. Great rates, great hotels, and great rewards programs. ChoiceHotels.com. Now then, our next. So I would say that the air travel these days in America is, I don't know what it is. It's probably fine. Screw it, man. Just get me on a plane. If only we could all afford private charters. Boy, that would be the life, wouldn't it? Oh, man. If only all of us could just pull right out onto the tarmac. Oh, yes, Jeeves. My bags, please.
Yes, sir.
You know, takes it, sticks it in the thing. The closest I ever got to that, and this was great, I was in Fiji, and I had just escaped these headhunters. No, I'm kidding. I was in Fiji, and I was staying at the Cousteau Resort down there. And why was I in Fiji and why was I at the Cousteau Resort is none of anybody's business. But I can tell you the dope they have down there. No, I'm kidding. I was down there on vacation. Okay. So anyway, and getting over to Fiji, just so you know, getting over to the island that we were staying at, just so you know, it was not any picnic because I went down there on vacation with my wife. And this was like 6-7 years ago. So we take off from the main town of Nandi. And we take off in an airline called Sunflower Airlines, and it has a big sunflower. Now, had I known that you can charter island to island rather easily, I would have done that. But I didn't know that. I said, well, you know, we got off of this Air New Zealand, which, by the way, is a fantastic. Air New Zealand kicks ass, the greatest of the great. Oh, my God, was that a great flight. So we got onto this Sunflower Airways, and it was a prop job. And all we were doing was flying from one island to the main island where this Cousteau, Jacques Cousteau Resort was, which is kind of a eco-friendly one of these joints, you know, where the natives come around and you can pretend like you're a member of the village for, you know, 2 nights and 3 days. And so we got in this thing. Now we're flying. Now we hit a bank of clouds, and guess what I'm thinking? You got it. Andy's rugby football team. Ring a bell? Okay. It's a bank of clouds, and the plane is now hitting turbulence. And I'm telling you, as God is my witness, folks, I sat there as this thing was bumping up and down. I turned, I looked to my right, I looked at my wife, and she had that kind of fixed smile that you have where you're scared witless, but you're just, you know, the grin. And I thought, so this is how it happens, huh? This is how it happens. This is it right here. Bank of clouds, planes going up and down, mountain, anytime a mountain, go ahead, just the side of a mountain, make it fast is all I ask, right? And to make things worse, the lady behind me was so petrified, she grabbed my shoulder. So now I've got this woman that I don't know grabbing my shoulder, my wife with the face. I'm thanking God for all of the wonderful things I've had, plus the first class flight down there. And I thought, you know, it would be great, God, if you could get me back to the States. But I understand. And I was, oh, God almighty. And when we finally got out of that bank of clouds and I saw the little landing strip with the cow at the end of it, I thought, this is beautiful, man. We made it. We're alive. We're alive. And I giggled hysterically. But that wasn't the story I wanted to tell you. Unfortunately, we're out of time. So, no, I'll tell you when we come back from the break. The real story I want to tell you was the really cool plane that we took back to the main airport. Because there was no way was I going back on Sunflower Airways again. No. You know, well, what time is your flight, sir? Oh, Sunflower called and confirmed your reservation. Well, guess what? It's no more sunflowers for me, okay? It's pistachio nuts all the way for me, man. And she's like, huh? So in any event, when we did return, we returned on a really cool flight. You do need a very, very strong president. I believe we have that in Barack Obama, as I believe we had one in George Bush. But they have circling them and orbiting them all kinds of nefarious types. Now, we've been talking about this. It's now beginning to come out as fact, as we knew it would, that what is holding down this president more than anything else are these dirty, nasty little slimy worms that say they've got the president's back. All they're doing is turning the public against him. One of them is this nasty little bastard that we call affectionately Muttface over here on Messed Up NBC, this Chris Matthews. I hate to break the news to any Muttface fans out there, but he got his ass owned today by Ari Fleischer. I mean, oh, baby. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard Muttface. I don't think I've ever heard anybody shove a ball gag in that guy's face the way Fleischer did today, and he did it. He did it, and you can watch it. It's all over. We'll have the audio for you. Fleischer came on, talked about the record of George Bush. There was Muttface trying to spin the ideology, trying to even pass off the lie as truth. Much the same way, for instance, you've heard it on this show, and we had the chap who wrote the book about interrogating Iraqis. He said, well, many American soldiers had been convicted of crimes. I said, when? Well, many Americans said, yeah, where, when, who? Well, you know what, Mr. Henry, you're right, none have. Matthew Alexander, nice kid. But he found himself saying these things because people would let him say these things and get away with it. A lot of American soldiers have been convicted of all kinds of crimes, and most people will say, oh, yeah, 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 and then the lie becomes a part of the archival knowledge. Medea Benjamin, American soldiers convicted of murdering an Afghan taxi driver. No, no, yes, no, yes, Phil, no. Yo, you're just drinking the Kool-Aid. Really? Well, we looked it up. It happened to be British soldiers. They didn't kill him. They beat him up. They didn't kill him. It had nothing to do with American soldiers.
Phil Henry.
Go over to Twitter there at twitter.com/realphilhenry and tweet and twit and whatever the hell you want to do, man. I tell you one thing, I'm going to be weaning myself away from that because it's a great place to find information. Breaking news, as a matter of fact, why we got the Jeff Goldblum has died rumor there. So that...
Yeah, that was breaking.
You're breaking, you jackass. It's not true.
Yeah, I know that, but it broke.
Yeah, it broke all right. Anyway, I'm going to be spending less time over there because it drives me crazy between the celebrities that have 8 million followers and all they tweet is, well, I'm going to go out to my workout now. And it's like everybody's just, oh, God, that's fantastic. Is there anything we can do? Can we carry your oil? Can we pat you down? Can we assist in lifting your ass into the SUV? Is there anything we can do? Between that and the people, like I was telling you, who are pissed off because Iran isn't on top morning, noon, and night, and Michael Jackson dies, how dare people care about that? Hey, look, you know what? Take a cigarette break. All right, Monica Conyers, Detroit's embattled city council president pro tem, pleads guilty. We had her on this show. She's pleading guilty to bribery. She was on the take, and we had her on the show, and she was bellyaching about a whole bunch of other stuff. Let's go over to a phone call here. This is Bob or Rob in Tampa. Rob, yeah, what's on your mind? What's going on? How are you?
Phil, I enjoy listening to your show, you know, through the years and enjoy it more.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I get the bottom. My question is, what's it gonna take for you to come to your senses about the and stop being an Obama Kool-Aid drinker. I mean,
the Kool-Aid drinker, the Kool-Aid drinker. Do you know where that's from, by the way, the phrase Kool-Aid drinking?
I know exactly what it's from. It's from the Reverend Jim Jones back in 1978.
Right, but you want to know something? You want to know something? It wasn't Kool-Aid. It wasn't Kool-Aid. It was another brand.
It was something else.
Yeah.
But seriously,
it makes me a Kool-Aid drinker that I said before he was elected, Obama will never pull anybody out of Gitmo. Obama will go slow into withdrawal from Iraq. Obama will press Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. How does that make me a Kool-Aid drinker? I'm wondering.
Well, it does when you've got rose-colored glasses. This guy's nothing more than a Marxist community activist organizer.
What is a Marxist? Yeah. What is a Marxist?
One who ascribes and follows the tenets of Karl Marx and Frederick.
Right, and what were those? What were those?
What were those, sir?
Yeah, what were the tenets of Karl Marx?
Basically, that the state has all power. That's one.
Wrong.
Of And you can
wrong.
See right now that
that's wrong. That's right. You got that one wrong. Next, what are the other tenets?
No, I'm not, because Obama.
Oh, yes, you are.
Yes,
you are. So here's a guy that's using Marxist, and he doesn't know what it is. Talk about a Kool-Aid drinker, folks. It's Rob in Tampa. He's drinking the what is it, Glenn Beck Kool-Aid, or is it the Bill O'Reilly Kool-Aid that you're drinking?
He added trillions to our.
Are you drinking the? It's not the John McCain Kool-Aid, because he's smarter than that.
I said trillions.
I know what it is. The Alex Jones Kool-Aid. That's what you're drinking.
Cap and trade. You know, he wants that passed.
Yeah. What's cap and trade? What's cap and trade?
He wants funding.
Can you tell me what is cap and trade?
He wants.
What's a missile?
Yeah. You know exactly what it is.
What is a missile? What is a missile? Do you know what it is?
Put Obama in office.
Who is Obama? Can you tell me that? You haven't answered any questions. Do you even know who Barack Obama is?
I don't need to answer the questions. There's people like you who put him in office.
Well, Rob, your credibility, I think, is a little bit, rubbed raw when you don't even know what a Marxist is. You don't know what the tenets of Karl Marx are. You don't know what cap and trade is. I don't even think you know who Barack Obama is. In fact, I know you don't.
It's going to cost us jobs and millions of dollars.
And you talk about me being a Kool-Aid drinker, man. At least I ask questions and I get answers. You've drunk the Kool-Aid of who, man? Are you drinking the Fox and Friends Kool-Aid? That's what you're drinking, Gretchen Carlson's Kool-Aid.
No, I got my sense.
If you want to call it Kool-Aid.
Exactly what he was.
More like lemonade.
Before the election. Yeah.
What's that?
Apparently you didn't, Phil.
What's that?
I said I saw... Apparently what he was, 52.7%.
No, you didn't. You didn't know anything about this guy. In fact, the reason why you're upset is because he's not exactly going according to plan here for you.
Now, he said he wanted to bring fundamental change to this country, sir, and he wants to turn it on its head, and you don't even have the good sense to realize that.
No, I know when something is true, and I know a guy that's spewing hot air and doesn't know what he's talking about. You haven't answered one question. You called me a Kool-Aid drinker. You're the guy that can't answer the simple question, what is a Marxist? What are the tenets of Karl Marx? You don't know what cap and trade is. I don't even think you know what an anti-ballistic missile is. Kool-Aid? You're just, you're right off of, you just got done watching Sean, man, and you're coming in here with his squeaky little voice reverberating in your head. Let's go over here to Eric in Santa Monica, listening on our flagship K-Talk. Eric, what's going on?
Hey, first I'd like to say I've been listening to you so long in every show on earth, but I like yours. I listen to it every night while I'm at work, which I'm at now. I respect
Thank you.
I don't agree with you every time, but I totally respect you as a human being, and you're the best balanced person on earth. So let's get
Well, thanks,
out.
Man.
I'm so sick of these people calling in and being so divisive. I listen to the Sean Hannitys, the Limbaughs, and all that stuff like that. What they're doing as subtext is basically, let's get the 800-pound gorilla elephant out of the room. They just don't like a black man being president. So they'll say little subtext under, if I'm saying it right, you know, like racist words like weak, and he just talks a good game. That's when people have been saying
Well, you know, I would disagree with you because a lot of those same guys, if Colin Powell was president, for instance, the Colin Powell of, let's say, the Gulf War, I think they'd be happy as pigs in slop. I think they'd think it would be great. He's a good conservative or whatever they perceive that to be. Don't you?
I feel kind of dirty when I hear those guys, because if you listen to Sean Hannity for the only 15 seconds you can stand him, he repeats and repeats. He's putting things in people's mind to go to their darker side, if I can say that, you know, deeply. I'm trying to articulate. Right. If he goes to their inner hate or whatever they were talking about.
Here's what he does. Here's what he does, Eric. What Sean does, and I like Sean. He's a nice guy. But what he's doing as a performer is he, every time something happens from the liberal side, what he perceives to be, he must counter it. He must even if it's something good. It's a knee-jerk, it's a de facto way of being, it's not very creative, and he's fallen into a trap, I think, on the air. So in other words, Obama could say, for instance, Christmas is a great day, and Hannity would say,
well, I thought that these people didn't believe in God. I thought they, there
isn't a damn thing. And some of it I have to blame on the progressives who treated George Bush, in many ways, the exact same way. They were not fair. I think that they were slanderous in many ways. And I want to keep talking, but I can't. Bye, Eric. Bye, Eric. They're telling me to leave now.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 on the West Coast, 4 on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about here all across the country. And we mentioned we're bringing on now Chris Arledge, and Chris is going to talk with us, Mr. Arledge will, about this Supreme Court ruling that is quite significant, that reinstates some firefighters there in Connecticut. Mr. Arledge, by the way, is a trial attorney himself. He's an adjunct law professor at Chapman University. He specializes in intellectual property and constitutional law. He clerked with the Ninth United States Circuit Court of Appeals and is a partner with the Costa Mesa, California firm Turner Green Afrasiabi and Arledge. Boy, at least I got Mr. Arledge's name right. Let's get Chris Arledge up on the line here. And Mr. Arledge, good to have you on our program this evening. How are you? So what we have here, and I wanted to actually just read to the audience a couple of paragraphs. The U.S. Supreme Court sided on Monday with white firefighters in a workplace discrimination lawsuit, a divisive case over the role race should play in job advancement. It was a 5-4 split vote. Majority of the justices ruling that the city of New Haven, Connecticut, improperly threw out the results of promotional exams that officials said left too few minorities qualified. And a lot of this, Chris, comes under the purview of this Title VII law. Can you tell us what Title VII is? Is that like affirmative action or something akin?
Title VII is part of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. What Title VII says is that you cannot discriminate in making employment decisions on the basis of race, sex, religion, ethnicity, and a certain other number of characteristics.
And what happened today with the Supreme Court after an appeals court that the current Supreme Court nominee, Justice Sotomayor, was a part of, after they said that the city was acting properly? What happened in the Supreme Court today to overturn that appeals court ruling?
Well, 5 members of the court found that the city of New Haven acted improperly in throwing out these tests that the firefighters took in order to seek advancement. What's important about the case is to understand that under Title VII, there are 2 different ways you can be found liable for improper discrimination. One is the obvious way. It's just you intentionally discriminate against somebody because of race or religion or sex. But the other way is you can have actually unintentional discrimination if whatever you're doing to hire or promote has a disparate impact on certain minority groups, for example, then you can be guilty of discrimination. The problem that they had in New Haven is that the tests that they administered to the firefighters resulted in a lot more white firefighters being eligible for promotion. I think there were 15 or 17 white firefighters that would be eligible, 2 Latino firefighters, and no black firefighters. And so the problem they had is that the people who didn't do as well on the tests threatened to sue under Title VII, claiming this disparate impact theory, and said they were discriminated against. But the people who passed the test said, if you throw the results out and don't allow us to get promoted, we're going to sue you under Title VII for intentional discrimination. So the city was between a rock and a hard place as a result.
Chris, I don't expect you to know the answer to this, but I don't recall the specifics. When these test results came in, did the city initially say, wow, I guess we need to promote these white guys, they did really well, or did the city just sort of freeze these results and go to their lawyers? What happened, do you remember? Because I don't.
A little bit in dispute, actually, because what happened is when the results were first announced, there were some in the community that were very upset that that they believed the minority applicants did not get a fair shake. And, in fact, there was a local minister and civil rights activist who threatened the city council and the mayor with political repercussions if they don't throw these tests out. So if you read all the Supreme Court opinions, what you come across with is that there's some real question as to whether or not the city was acting in good faith or whether they were just buckling under pressure from some of these people in the community that were upset.
Community group. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as a result, intended all along to throw the test out just so they didn't make enemies with people they didn't want to make enemies of.
So therefore, we went to court. Now, let's read, and Chris, just tell me what you, I don't know, you can give me an opinion or you can explain why the appeals court felt the way they did. This is the appellate court ruling I want to read to everybody. The appellate court ruling that essentially told these white applicants, you know, we have sympathy for what you guys are saying, especially they noted Mr. Ricci, firefighter Ricci, who is dyslexic. They said the court is not unsympathetic to the plaintiff's expression of frustration. Mr. Ricci, for example, is dyslexic. He made intensive efforts that appear to have resulted in scoring highly on one of the exams, only to have it invalidated. But, said the appellate court, it simply does not follow that he has a valid Title VII claim. To the contrary, because the board, in refusing to validate the exams, was simply trying to fulfill its obligations under Title VII when confronted with test results that had a disproportionate racial impact. That's what the appellate court said, Chris. When you look at Title VII, do you see anywhere in Title VII obligations to, as the court said, you know, obligations to fulfill some sort of a hiring quota? What I'm seeing here is just you know, part of the Civil Rights Act that bars discrimination. What, can you give me an opinion about this?
Yeah, I can. Here's the problem. And the reason that this disparate impact part of Title VII is a part of the law now is because that in order to engage in intentional discrimination, there were employers who were taking steps in hiring and promoting that weren't related to the job duties at all. They were simply things that the employer was imposing on the workforce because they knew that if they imposed these requirements, that whites would do far better than minority applicants. Therefore, they can hire whites and not hire minorities. And so, mm-hmm. the reason you have this provision of Title VII is because there is that sort of discrimination going on. That being said, this was a troubling outcome here because, as you pointed out, Mr. Ricci and some of these others put a lot of time, effort, and money into making sure that they did well on these tests, studying the case says 8 to 13 hours a day in Mr. Ricci's case, even though he had a learning disability. So to throw the exams out when those people had spent so much time, effort, and money to pass, just because you didn't have the right numbers of whites and Latinos and blacks who passed, is pretty troubling. And I think even the dissent here, even though they found that the city acted properly, even the dissent was troubled by the outcome for those firefighters.
Yeah, it says they are not unsympathetic. But it's interesting that they read the Title VII. Well, I don't want to get people confused. Go read the Civil Rights Act, you guys. But there's a difference between, Chris, and tell me if I'm wrong, there's a difference, and if this is applicable, there's a difference between saying we need to hire this many minorities and saying we just shouldn't discriminate against minorities. True?
There's absolutely a difference. And in fact, that's the reason the majority, the five-member majority of the Supreme Court came out the way they did today, because what they said is, look, if we let cities throw out test results like this, anytime some rabble-rouser in the community says we don't like the way the results came out, there aren't enough blacks or Latinos that qualified, then practically speaking, what you allow people to do is have a veto until there's a quota established. And you can't have quotas under the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. So you're right. I mean, there is a difference, and that's, I think, the reason the majority came out the way it did.
And really, Chris, the way I have always looked at affirmative action and the way that I always hope that it would work, and I'm sure most Americans do, is that it enables the very best that we have to rise to the top and not be blocked by the color of their skin. But if the very best that we have is of a color that has traditionally not been blocked in the past, but they're still rising to the top in this individual situation, we should not impose restrictions on them simply because of that. And there's that historic imbalance shouldn't play, right?
I think that's a fair reading of it. My own personal opinion is that we need to be very careful in imposing race discrimination on individuals. Even though we have a history of race discrimination in this country, it's not at all clear to me that it's fair in a case like this one with Mr. Ricci to deny him what he worked so hard for just because of his skin color.
Well, it's heavy, and I wonder what the reaction in New Haven is among the minority community. We'll look into that. I don't know if you've had any contact with any principals or people removed a few times back there in New Haven or followed this case. Have you?
I haven't, and I'm not. I'm sure that the people who were in favor of throwing the test results out won't be happy now. But But I haven't talked to any of them.
Well, anyway, Chris, I really appreciate you being with us, man, as always, when you come on and explain some of these things that need explaining. Thanks so much, brother.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. And there I am calling a trial attorney and an adjunct law professor brother.
Yeah, that's disrespectful.
Well, I'm sure you understand. Anyway, that's Chris Arledge. He is from Chapman University here in Southern California, and an attorney on a lawyer and a specialist on constitutional law. And he's talking to us there about this case. Now, again, it needs to be said, and there's another subtle, not subtle, but it's tough to understand, I think, for some, and that is that the tests themselves have been attacked by people as being skewed in terms of questions, answers, knowledge required, skewed against minorities and in favor of whites. It's a real area of subtlety and subcultural difference. I don't think I heard that argument made here. When this whole thing went down, it was just about, wait a second, the law says thus and so. And according to the Supreme Court, no, the law doesn't say that. Now, the appeals court said, yes, it did. The Supreme Court said the appeals court misread it. It sounds like a fair outcome to me. Like I said, I believe that nobody's skin color should keep them from a gig. Although, you know, some white people are,
Yeah, but there's some blacks, too.
Well, there's a lot of them that I don't like. Anyway, let's go to I wanted to play for you a little bit of audio before we go to our break. And let's just listen to the reaction here on the Supreme Court. I think this is Mr. Ricci here, if I'm not mistaken. The gentleman's name is firefighter Matthew. Well, this is actually Matthew Marciarelli reacting to the ruling. And then we'll hear also perhaps from Ricci. But here's just the reaction of some of the firefighters involved in the case.
I was overjoyed, elated. Humbled at the same time, knowing that early on in the case, we learned that it wasn't just the 20 of us that were fighting this battle. It was firefighters across the country and public safety in general that want to put this stuff to bed. Hopefully we struck a significant blow to that. And we have the United States Supreme Court as it's made up to thank for that.
Here's the attorney for the firefighters. Her name is Karen Torrey. She's the attorney representing the firefighters, delighted that the court moved away from what she called identity politics.
In this very long, arduous process, these men became a symbol for millions of Americans who have grown tired of seeing individual achievement and merit take a backseat to race and ethnicity. We had, one might say, the audacity of hope that some court at some point would enforce the letter and the spirit of the civil rights laws, accord to firefighters the recognition and respect that they deserve.
The reaction of the administration, MSNBC's Savannah Guthrie.
The White House is saying, look, just because the Supreme Court reverses a decision that a judge was on, this is not a referendum on their competence or their abilities. If it were, for example, Chief Justice Roberts was on the losing side of the Hamdan case, the one that struck down the military commissions when it came up on the Supreme Court. Justice Alito, I believe, wrote two opinions that came before the Supreme Court. Both of those were reversed. So they're saying this is not a referendum on whether Judge Sotomayor is a good judge.
All right, so
or
what
not.
That's what that means. They're talking about Sotomayor. Is she a good judge? She was on the appellate court that said no, the city is right, and the appellate court was overruled. And Guthrie, I think, saying it very well. I mean, you had a 5-4 decision here, which means there were four justices who did not hold with the majority. That's going to happen. Does it mean that all four of those guys don't belong on the Supreme Court? If you take a look at a ruling and you say, well, 5-4 or 6-3 or 7-2, do those two or those three or those four, does that suddenly mean they're incompetent? Even if you agreed with the court, say you disagreed with the court, does that mean the five guys are incompetent? I don't think anybody anywhere in this country is ever going to have a unanimous agreement on the competency of judges because everybody is politically bent that way. Judges aren't supposed to be. See?
No.
I didn't think you'd get it. All right, coming back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Michael Jackson's kids are going to go to his mother, Catherine, going to the grandma. Our number's 877-876-Joe Jackson, some kind of a real, oh, this guy's different. And Al Sharpton, and the whole racial line thing about the Jackson death and the aftermath. It's all very funny, all very curious, and all very explainable only on the Phil Hendry Show.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
Very big day coming up in Iran, and that is the 30th, and that's tomorrow, isn't it? Let me see.
Yeah, let me just check the calendar.
Which is it?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, right, is the 30th. That's a very big day for the Iraqi people. Did I say Iran? I meant Iraq, or Iraq, as some people might say, because U.S. troops will take a secondary role. From the 30th on, they're withdrawing from a lot of the outer cities. They're coming back into, I think, the green zone where they will have some control. But mostly, the U.S. is now going to serve in an ancillary role, an adjunct role, a support role for Iraqi armed forces as the people of Iraq take over the security of their country. I think it's a great day for the Iraqi people. They were celebrating. It's a great day for our soldiers that we can take this burden off of their shoulders and allow them now to sort of at least stand down from that primary role. And that all happens on the 30th of June, which is tomorrow, just hours away. I guess it's already started happening in Iraq. And we'll talk about that and also the Iran recount being declared official by, you know, whoever, Ahmadinejad's lackey or the guys he pays. I mean, the Ayatollah, what's his name? Here is John in San Diego. John, what's on your mind, man?
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment about the whole thing with the Supreme Court overruling the firefighters and all that. My opinion, and I don't know if you'd agree with me, but my opinion is it's a matter of color now. Okay, of the judges that voted for the ruling, they're, I would guess, primarily white, and all that.
No, wait a minute. You're guessing. You're guessing.
Well, I'm not that informed, but this is my opinion.
Well, don't you want to get at least that much information before you sort
of... That's why this is to you, you know.
Who are the five guys? I'll ask Bud. Go find the five guys.
What guys?
The five guys that were the Supreme Court guys.
But hey,
go ahead, John.
Think about it. If Sotomayor gets confirmed, all it means is that minorities are going to have an edge now, in a way. For so long, white judges have been telling the country what's law. Well, now it's going to be more of a minority mix telling the country what's law. What's wrong with that?
Well, but you know, John, it's really not anybody telling the country what's law. It's the Constitution that tells the country
right,
what
right,
is law.
Right.
But we have judges now. We have a more representative bench. I agree with you. But you know, Clarence Thomas is a conservative judge.
Right.
But you look at Clarence.
Right.
Yeah, but you see, but John, please understand something. And I think Sotomayor's right. Everybody's life experience. If you're black, you grew up much differently than you do in this country if you're white. Here comes a minority judge, a Puerto Rican, a black judge, but they have this constitution. And that doesn't mean necessarily that because they have you know, that they have a color of their skin that resembles more coffee than it does milk, that they're going to necessarily come up with some miraculously different interpretation. I think that is also to their credit. You see what I'm saying? Like, it could have been all black guys on that court today ruling in favor of those white guys. What would you have said?
Well, see, that's just the thing, though, okay? That's just the thing. For so long, it's been nothing but a bunch of white guys. I mean, 50-50.
Well, it's been a black. There were Jewish women. There was a black judge. There were some Italians in there. A lot of people question whether Italians are white.
Besides Clarence Thomas, yeah. There's no minorities. But I mean, Clarence Thomas was the first black judge.
Thurgood Marshall. Thurgood Marshall was.
How long ago was that? And before
He was on the court for a long, long time until he retired, and then Clarence Thomas took his place.
Right. Well, it's not a good balance, and all it is just a balancing now of races in the Supreme Court.
Let me ask you about this though, man. What's wrong with today's ruling and saying, look at all these cats took this test. These dudes didn't pass. These dudes did. The guys that passed are white. Well, we can't hire them because we need to have more people of color on the fire department. And suddenly the white guys are going, wait a minute, are you looking for good people? Or are you just making a racial quota thing here? Because people's lives are at stake with the fire department. They took it to court. The appellate court ruled with the minority. But then it went to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court ruled with the guys who passed the test and they were white. And you think that's race, you know? It sounds to me like that's fair.
It is. It is race, and that's what it comes down to.
Isn't that fair, though? All right, brother. All right, I'll talk to you, John. Good call. I got to go. You made good points. We'll be back. World Famous, Phil Henry Show, Michael Jackson, and more coming up.
Phil Henry.